Day 36, the trap of negativity. How suffering disguises itself as wisdom. Most people live their whole lives chasing salvation through doing, getting, or achieving. Like life is a never-ending game of just one more thing, but eventually for something clicks. None of it really brings lasting peace. And that realization can hit hard. It often leads not to joy, but to a kind of existential slump. If no one of this can fulfill me, what's the point? You stand on the edge of despair and paradoxically right next to the door of awakening. A wise old man once put it plainly, all that arises passes away. What he meant wasn't just poetic, it was freedom. He had learned the art of not resisting reality. By surrendering to the present and embracing the fleeting nature of everything, he found peace. This kind of surrender doesn't mean giving up. It means giving up the illusion that life has to be a certain way for you to be okay. Here's the twist. The moment you stop being needy about outcomes, life tends to flow better. People, experiences, even success may show up more easily, not because you're grasping for them, but because you've let go. You can enjoy it while it lasts, and you're not crushed when it fades. That's freedom. Negativity, however, is the opposite of that. It's resistance to what is. From subtle irritations to full-blown despair, it's your ego saying, "This shouldn't be happening." And here's the strange thing. The ego actually believes that negativity is useful. It thinks being angry or upset will somehow get you what you want. But negativity doesn't solve problems. It keeps them alive. The only thing it truly fuels is the ego's need for identity. When you're wrapped up in a negative emotion, part of you clings to it like a security blanket. If you see yourself as a victim, for example, you may unconsciously push away any experience that would challenge that role because it's become who you are. The angry person, the betrayed one, the broken-hearted soul, it's all a tragic theater and the ego is center stage. To let go of negativity would be to walk off that stage, and the ego doesn't like that. This kind of emotional pollution isn't just psychological. It mirrors our relationship with the planet. Just as humans are the only creatures who destroy their own environment, we are also the only ones who poison our own inner world with chronic negativity. A flower doesn't hold grudges. A cat isn't plotting revenge. Animals and plants accept what is. They live it. They are it. Take ducks, for example. Ever seen two ducks fight? It's all flapping and squawking for a few seconds. And then, as if nothing happened, they paddle off and shake it off with a few flaps. No emotional hangover, no stewing, no therapy sessions. They release the energy and move on. Why? Because they don't build identities out of past pain. That's something only a mind can do. Still, emotions like depression or anxiety can carry a message. They might be telling you something's off in your life. But if you're not present, even the wisest advice gets buried under layers of reactivity. Yes, examine your life, but start by waking up. Start by noticing. When you're truly present, negativity becomes unnecessary. Until then, treat it like a wake-up call. Don't shame yourself. Just recognize it and return to now. You don't have to be perfectly peaceful all the time. Few are. But when anger or sadness arises, let it be your parrot in the tree croaking, "Attention! Here and now!" Use every flare-up as a cue to return, not to your story, but to the simplicity of being. Because the present moment doesn't need fixing, it only needs noticing. And the more you do that, the less power negativity will have over you. It won't vanish overnight, but it will lose its grip. You'll stop identifying with the mood and start witnessing it. And that's when you realize the only real message negativity brings is this: you're not present. Come back.